The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Clinton Yates, Israel Gutierrez, Jackie McMahon, great to have you here. Big Ten schedule release. Here are the games in color. And the conference built in reschedule weeks. And they announced their plan for two tests weekly for players. This, while over 1,000 players formed Big Ten United, just like seen in the Pac-12 this week. Big Ten players say the proposal to play falls short. They call the NCAA's approach for COVID guidelines laissez-faire. Meanwhile, this while UConn football canceling their season and Colorado State investigating alleged neglect of COVID protocols. Jackie McMahon, we'll start with you. What type of effect do you think all this will have in college football season?
Well, it's all about one thing, Tony, the bottom line, and that's the Benjamins. It's all about the money, and that's why the Big Ten feels compelled to draw. Imagine creating a season with the idea that you know you're going to have to cancel some games. I mean, it's absurd to me. And UConn, kudos to them for trying to protect their athletes and their coaches and their staff by saying, we don't feel this is safe. But don't mistake that this is also about money, Tony. Do you know how much money the UConn football team lost last year? $13.3 million. They made the ill-fated decision to go from 1AA to 1A. It hasn't stuck. It hasn't worked. And they had a schedule where four canceled games were going to make it near impossible for them to complete a full season. So these are all the bottom line on all of this is, hey, we've got to play. We need the revenue. Or in UConn's case, maybe it's better if we don't play, believe it or not.
But back to that Big Ten schedule, Jackie. You said you can't believe the fact that they built in weeks off here where they could reschedule. Wouldn't you consider now, at this point, that at least to be some planning and thus a good thing?
You're right. That's a fair point and a good point. But it's just, to me, it's amazing to me. Two tests a week. History so far, a very short history, tells us that's probably not enough. They're getting tested every day in the NBA bubble, and that's working. You have to be so vigilant with this virus. And it, you know, I agree with whoever called this whole college football thing laissez-faire. I agree.
That was the over 1,000 players of Big Ten United now. Let's go to Clinton Yates here on what you thought when you saw the Big Ten schedule today and maybe UConn or Colorado State.
There's a couple things to say here. Number one, the situation at Colorado State, I would grandly describe as despicable based on what the reports are. Number two, UConn, I mean, sort of an irrelevant college football program. We understand what's going on there, but a smart decision. As for the Big Ten, though, the reason why this is, I don't want to say commendable at all, but why I appreciate this is because what's been the toughest thing for America to do in this entire situation in 2020? It's make informed decisions. And if the Big Ten commissioner is to be believed that kids are not going to get their scholarships revoked for opting out, at the very least, this presents something to say no to. And that's a lot more than a lot of these other colleges are doing, which is basically just saying, oh, trust me, we'll figure it out, which is not good enough. That's what the SEC kids told their conference commissioners, and that's a large part of what the Pac-12 is telling them. So the Big Ten, I will give them this. The kids have an option because they see what's there, and they can just say no, which is a lot more than a lot of these other conferences are doing.
Interestingly said, Clinton. Israel Gutierrez, your thoughts on the schedule release and maybe those other programs, UConn and Colorado State.
I definitely agree with Clinton there, just given that it's the student athletes that the ones that have to feel safe. So if they have something laid out for them and they say, hey, will this make you feel safe? And they still say no, then they can choose to opt out. I look at the schedule making almost as a contingency plan, right? Because I think most normal people, if you are realistic, are going to say, it looks like this season might not happen. But if it does, or if we can somehow find a way to shrink it to 8 games or shrink it to 6 games by building in this 10-game schedule, then let's just do that. And there are benefits to that. So it looks like there's something in place there. And so while I think that is the way to go, I also feel like if you look at the Colorado State situation, that could be another issue, because you've basically got a bunch of he said over there, where some people are saying, hey, I didn't feel safe because the coach said 14-day protocol, but maybe it doesn't have to be 14 days. And you've got other players saying, hey, the player's safety has been on the coach's mind the entire time. So it's just the small details that can go from making you feel safe to making you feel unsafe. And if everybody's not on the same page, it's just going to be difficult to follow through.
Jackie Mack, did you have any thoughts on an investigation of alleged COVID protocol lapses in Colorado State?
That's a pretty disturbing report. And I understand what you're saying, Israel, that there are players coming out saying, oh, no, I feel completely safe. But that's up to the individual, because maybe some of those players who are saying that really, really want to play. And I've heard this from a lot of friends of mine who have kids who are supposed to play college sports or even high school sports. And they're kids and they want to play. That's what we all want to do, right? You only have a short window to get to do that. So you'll do anything you can to play. And so I think we have to be careful when we're listening to people. You've got to listen to everyone. If one person feels like they've been compromised in the way these COVID regulations, I'm going to listen.
What do you think is going to be the energy after today? More programs make a decision like UConn, or more conferences make a decision like the Big Ten? Clint Yates.
I think more conferences are going to make decisions like the Big Ten, simply for the reasons that Izzy stated. Have something there, because what we've learned in this past week is that these kids are smart enough to know the difference. That was the main thing, I think, that we learned from the Pac-12 and that SEC conference call. It wasn't just about, for me, the demands. It was about the fact that, oh, yeah, these young men and women can express themselves in a clear and concise and cogent way to the issue, and they are just as much valuable to everything as everything else, as we know. And so if they can convince people, hey, this isn't a good idea, not just for us, but also not for you, then we might actually get to this in a smart way, which I think is what conferences are going to realize they have to do, because the other option of forcing it through, it's not going to work, man. Nobody's going to like that.
We'll have that be the last word on the matter. We'll move on. Basketball now. Let's go to the bubble. Portland hard charging Memphis for that 8 seed. How they beat Houston last night with Hall of Famer Bubble Melo. Damian Lillard doesn't think you people value Carmelo Anthony enough. He thinks he's a Hall of Famer and thinks you people have been disrespectful to him. It was Anthony with the 3 and the block to seal the win versus Houston. How real and how good is this Portland team right now? And how loud should the apology to Carmelo Anthony be, Israel Gutierrez?
I mean, it can be as loud as you want it to, as long as on the tail end we can drop an I told you so on there, because the whole point of Carmelo toward the end of, let's say, the first part of his career before his Portland year started, was we asked him, or people asked of him, hey, be humble enough to come off the bench, be a spot scorer, maybe lose some weight so that you can be better defensively and just accept a different role. He's done that here in Portland, and he is flourishing there. Not only that, it just happens to be a great fit for him. Not only do you have a superstar legitimate in Damian Lillard who can sort of be the lead guy and Carmelo can respect, but you've got two guys behind you, and Hassan Whiteside all year long was a leader in blocked shots, and now you have Yusuf Nurkic back there, and so Carmelo doesn't have to be the brilliant perimeter defender. And so we always knew he could offer this. It had to be about fit, and it had to be about
commitment. Hold on a second. You're trying to say we always knew? Damian Lillard is saying you never say it. You never say it loud enough, and you're trying to say, I'll apologize, but also say, I told you so. Jackie Mack, what's the read on Carmelo here, and why do the Blazers feel like they're being overlooked?
Well, the one thing that has always been true about Carmelo, and even if as he changed teams and things didn't work out for him in his various stops, the players always believed in him. That always seemed unanimous to me. He's one of the most likable players in the league. He was a superstar. He is a Hall of Famer. And I think players look at him and say, wow, that could be me someday. But he always handled himself in a way. He was never a clubhouse, a locker room problem. His issues tended to be that GMs or coaches decided, you know what, this isn't going to work. It wasn't players going to the coach and GM saying, get this guy out of here. That was never the case. So I'm happy for Melo, skinny Melo. I like what he's doing. But let's be realistic about how well Portland is doing. Yes, Melo has something to do with it. But Nurkic has an awful lot to do with that, too. He missed most of the season. Yeah.
But you would say those GMs and executives, they were wrong. They have to admit they were wrong about Melo, correct?
Well, that's up to them for to decide whether they want to say that. They're the ones that didn't sign him all this time, and they're the ones that moved on from him, not the media.
So Damian Lillard says Carmelo Anthony's been undervalued by all people, I guess. Clint Yates, you say what?
That's ahistorical and incorrect. I mean, people simply, as Izzy said, just said, hey, man, maybe you just can't be the last great American ball hog, as a great story in ESPN described him one time, and you can be effective on a team. Olympic Melo was a thing for a reason. That was his most effective play as a player in his career, and that includes every single time he played in the pros. I mean, look, the Blazers are good. Of course it's a good thing that Melo can step in and knock these shots down and be the guy that he wants to be. But I'm not getting too lost in Melo when the Blazers are actually a team that are on the Grizzlies' heels overall as far as making their way into these playoffs. It's nice for Melo, but absolutely. He had to make some changes after literally laughing in a reporter's face at his introductory press conference in Oklahoma City at the notion of coming off the bench, bro. He had to make some changes.
All right, so that's a lot of sorry, not sorry from you guys. That's not a full apology, but I'll allow it.
You're
Portland
going to
take this 8 seed, Jackie?
What's that? I'm sorry, Tony. I didn't hear you.
Is Portland going to take this 8 seed?
I don't know if they're going to take the 8 seed, but I will say they'll be in that play-in game.
Okay. And is real Portland going to take this 8 seed?
They seem like the best combination of a healthy veteran team of those at the bottom, and I think they're going to snatch that 8 seed, yeah.
Okay, one more team maybe that's been undervalued, maybe that you people are obligated to not talk about every show, the Indiana Pacers. Can we talk about them? Or will you allow it? 3-0 in the bubble. TJ Warren is Mr. Bubble. He's dropping 30-plus every night. How real and good is Indy right now, Quinn?
Indy's great. I mean, they were the 5 seed beforehand. But the reason why people were not thinking they were going to be as good was because, hello, they lost on Sabonis, and B, people didn't know what the situation with Oladipo was going to be. Now, of course, I didn't think that, as I like to call them, the Flying TJs were going to take over everything, but nobody thought this was a bad basketball team. People just wondered, just like everybody else, how they were going to get it together from a personnel standpoint, and they've shown up. I've been very impressed.
Jackie Mack?
Yeah, and I think it's really helped that Oladipo did decide to play. There was so much uncertainty hanging over that. And, of course, he missed various parts of the beginning of the season. He makes a big difference for him. And TJ Warren, I mean, I knew he was a very good player. I'm going to lie if I told you I thought he was going to start dropping 50 on people. That's on me. I didn't see that coming. But Nate McMillan's a good coach. They always defend. They're always in games. I mean, do we think they're going to get out of the East? Is anybody on this panel willing to say that? I don't know.
No.
Okay, Israel Gutierrez, maybe you're willing to say that.
No, I just want you guys to know it was told in my ear that I should say they're pacing themselves. I'm not going to tell that. I will, however, talk about TJ Warren. And he's always been this level of efficient. Well, maybe not this level, 65%. But he's been an efficient scorer for the past few seasons. 55% this year, like 57% from two-point range. And so if you watch a lot of those scores for him, it was a lot of straight lines in transition, semi-transition, just no-nonsense buckets. And he happens to be in rhythm from the outside. So when you get a scorer in this kind of rhythm, he's going to put up these kinds of numbers. But if you're telling me that a really good defensive team is going to game plan against TJ Warren, he's not going to score this well.
All right, that'll be the last word on the Pacers. Coming up, we have buy or sell. And the PGA, the first major, with someone going for 3 in a row, another going for a career slam, and a Tiger Woods also on the course.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETravel to save 20%.
WNBA's response to players around the wobble wearing Vote Warnock t-shirts before the games last night? There has been no response through our tape time this afternoon. Reverend Raphael Warnock running for state senate in Georgia against Atlanta Dream owner Kelly Loeffler. Loeffler's response, out of control cancel culture. The league is more concerned with playing politics than basketball. Jackie McMullen, I'll ask you, what type of situation does the WNBA find itself in today?
Well, I find Senator Loeffler's comments interesting. She's the one more interested in politics than basketball. And when she pushed back on saying she didn't like the message of Black Lives Matter upon the WNBA, that's what raised the ire of these players. And to me, they're at the forefront of social justice, Tony. They have been from the very beginning. The WNBA is so smart and so, to me, so caring in their message. And in this case, they could have fired back at their owner, which is exactly what she wanted to do. And they recognized that. And instead, they took a very premeditated, very careful approach and said, you know what? How's the best way we can express our disappointment and effect change? I know what we'll do. We'll put the name of her opponent on our backs and say, vote for him instead. Beautiful.
So you would call that a careful approach?
Yeah.
You call it a beautiful approach.
I liked it a lot.
But for the position that the league is in right now, someone who pays the checks of players in the league is saying the league is more into politics than basketball, and they're trying to cancel me. How should the league feel about that?
Well, it's a pretty, I think this is a situation that Senator Loeffler wanted. I think she made those comments. She's in line with President Trump, and I think she made those comments to cause a stir, to cause attention to her campaign. And I think the players said, we're not going to take this bait. That's not what we're going to do.
Israel Gutierrez?
You know, it's frustrating to hear Loeffler read her mentioning the cancel culture and using that catchphrase, not surprising, but using that catchphrase to get people on her side, because this is not cancel culture. You know, this is WNBA players knowing, you know, you want to say it's politics, they want to say it's their human rights. They want to say that there are human issues that they're being violated by Kelly Loeffler. They do not believe that they are on the same level as other people. And so I do believe that this is WNBA players taking control. And I understand, my first initial thought was, whoa, man, politics and work, like this is the definition of mixing politics in with whether the work or entertainment. But again, this isn't necessarily about the norms of the past. This is about changing. And WNBA, as Jackie said, has been ahead of the game in terms of forcing change. And this, to me, becomes fair game.
It was about a month ago after Loeffler's comments about Black Lives Matter that the WNBA released a statement saying she hadn't been in the day-to-day ownership of the team in at least the last 9 months, I believe, is what they said. No response through our tape time again today. What position is the WNBA in right now, Clint Yates?
I think they're in a fine position as, you know, what they usually are, the leaders of public discourse on matters of social justice. This is part and parcel with what they do. I mean, I don't mean to be flip here, but this is another situation where basic ancient African proverb applies. Don't start nothing, won't be nothing. If Kelly Loeffler did not want to get into it with WNBA players about the non-political statement of Black Lives Matter, she shouldn't have said anything at all. I don't even need to get into the level of arrogant privilege it shows as a sitting senator to be telling one people that they can you can talk about something and they can't. That's a separate matter in terms of the moral high ground that is not there. But overall, yeah, this is what I expect from the WNBA because this is what they do. They talk about it and they be about it, and I am proud of it.
Mm-hmm. Renee Montgomery, who plays for the Dream, has asked for a conversation with her owner, Kelly Loeffler, that has yet to be received in any way by Loeffler. We're going to move on. Buy or sell two. The PGA Championship, the first major this year, TPC Harding Park, just outside San Francisco. Brooks Koepka going for back-to-back-to-back, which hasn't happened to the PGA in 93 years. Jordan Spieth, he's got a shot at the career slam every time he laces it up in a major now. And Tiger for within two of Jack. He said this is what he's been gearing up for. Israel, what would be the best story, and how will the first major be won?
The best story would be Tiger winning, but that's not going to happen. I mean, he's gearing up for this, but he hasn't really been playing, so it's hard to imagine he can put together four straight rounds of that level of quality play. I really want to see Bryson DeChambeau at least be up there with the leaders because he's the most entertaining golfer out there right now. He went from a guy who was the golf nerd who took forever on his shots to now he's just bulked up and literally hitting the paint off the ball as he's, knocking it 420 yards away. I want to see that guy as much as possible right now.
Clint Yates?
You know they have competitions for that alone, Izzy. You don't have to watch actual golf tournaments to see guys smack
the ball.
But I'm rooting for Koepka here because Koepka has the best attitude of anybody on the tour, which is no new friends. He ain't worried about other golfers. He's there to win. He said he doesn't even have Rory's number, which is the funniest thing I've heard from a golfer in a long time. I love Koepka.
Jackie McMahon?
I'm going to go with Justin Thomas. I can't believe anyone else didn't take him first. The number one golfer in the world just coming
up. That would be the best story if Justin Thomas wins?
Yeah,
okay.
He can be the next great person we could talk about forever and a day. And he's got so many great stories about caddying for Michael Jordan as a young kid. And then Jordan said, hey, let's take on this other guy in a game of skins. And he didn't even know he had a ringer in a young Justin Thomas, but he did. He's endlessly fascinating.
All right, I said Brooks Koepka, if he wins, it'll be the first time in 93 years anyone won back-to-back-to-back at this tournament. And that's not a big deal. Justin Thomas would be a big deal to Jackie. All right.
Keep the streak alive.
Wave and a smile for Jackie, because it's Israel Gutierrez, Clint Yates showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
In baseball right now, St. Louis, a 9-game postponement streak. Miami, a 1-game tear since coming back to the playing. And winning streaks of 4 or more right now in baseball. Colorado's got one, Oakland's got one, Chicago, and Minnesota and New York are much longer than that. So how can there be so many streaks? And what means the most, Israel?
Small sample size so far, Tony, but I'm going to say the Rockies, partly because they're doing it with pitching so far, 8-2. Rockies and pitching, not exactly the way they normally win. So I'm going to say them in this odd season.
I think it's got to be the White Sox. They're the best actual team here of all these guys. Of course, they've got my man T.A. on the infield and the outfield. Luis Roberto, Lou Bob. He's the best thing coming out of Chicago baseball-wise in like a decade. I love that dude.
Did you say Chicago White Sox are the best team of all the teams we mentioned, including Minnesota and New York?
In my personal opinion, not New York, obviously not, but all the other ones, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, now that we get to the bottom of that point, Gutierrez, showdown two. The drone delay, the unauthorized drone delay, it was called. Yeah, I believe it was unauthorized. First in Major League history, whose drone was it? Why was it over Target Field to begin with? This is all a mystery. You want to solve it for us, or you have other takeaway from this, Clint Yates?
This is no mystery. What has been going on in all of 2020? Nobody's been in the crowd. If you want to watch a daggone ball game from inside the ballpark, get a drone. It works.
I don't know. I mean, it's Target Field where they're out there to just be a target out there. Aim here because they can't have people out there holding signs. Maybe that's what it was. Can't really figure it out.
Well, I like that people thought it was Trevor Bauer who was in charge of it, just to spy on everybody else. Point, Israel Gutierrez, 30 seconds of FaceTime goes to Miami.
You know what's funny is when teams talk about the lack of respect, I don't think it's necessarily that they talk bad about them. It's that they don't talk about them at all. And man, did we disrespect the Miami Heat on this program. I mean, did they just not have a win against the Boston Celtics, the 3 seed, without their best player, Jimmy Butler? And they happen to do it against a team full of wings. And what do the Heat have? Not a whole ton of wings right now with Jimmy Butler not healthy. Thank you, Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo, for holding up your team. And I wanted to spend this time talking about the Miami Heat as it should have been from the beginning.
Can we talk about that T-shirt?
Oh, another team being disrespected. I mean, every team gets disrespected if we're not shouting it from the rooftops. Okay, that's it. We're off for the PGA. See you Monday.